Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Produced by the iLab at WBUR, Boston.
It's snack time, baby. Are you guys ready to snack?
Always ready to snack.
Snack time. I've been delaying my actual snack until after we record this so that I don't have, like, popcorn particles
snack
all
mouth
up in my biz when I'm just snack mouth.
Do you remember that band from the 90s, Snack Mouth? The 90s and 2000s.
Classic. So snack time, you know this. This is when we jump through some of our favorite posts that we've seen on Reddit recently, and they just feel a little more snack-sized than our usual meal-sized episodes.
This is a rare threefer. Josh.
Here I am.
Endless Thread producer Josh. Yeah.
I like snacks.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I feel like in that spirit, Josh should kick it off. What do you think?
Love it.
I think you guys are going to really like this snack. I'm just going to say that up top.
Okay. Ooh, let's go.
A little cocky. All right.
Setting yourself up for failure.
I'm going to start with a question for you guys. When you were growing up, did you ever believe in Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny or anything like that?
No.
I did, in fact, believe in Santa Claus, Josh, and I believed for a really long time because my parents had an unfair advantage on me. They got their neighbor to come over when I was like 3 years old and dress up as Santa Claus in the middle of the night, and they all woke me up. My parents and my brother woke me up and like brought me into the living room to spy on Santa Claus while he was putting toys out. And I basically believed in Santa Claus for as long as possible because of that. I'd seen him with my own eyes.
That's perfect, because this story will really resonate with you, I think.
Nice.
All right, I'm going to save the headline for the end, and I'm just going to start in on the post. Since our daughter was 5 and my wife and I first started reading her the Harry Potter books, we have told her that she is a witch and that the wizarding world is real. She is almost 8, and as her questions have gotten deeper, we've kept building the illusion with more details about our family genealogy and its connection to book characters, stories about times we used magic, and the life and moral lessons we learned about it. She has processed many difficult subjects like racism, climate change, and even the coronavirus through this lens.
Wow.
Before other parents judge or lecture, we know it's gaslighting and that eventually she'll have to be disappointed and have trust issues with us when she learns the truth. We justify it by saying that we are adding magic to her childhood and giving her motivation to reach her full magical potential. We've asked serious questions of her teachers, and they think it's more awesome and creative than damaging. At the very worst case, my take is that it's analogous to children being raised to believe that traditional religious stories are true, and that when the truth hits, it will teach her to ask critical questions and not accept everything she hears or reads at face value. The headline of the post is, "Raised our 7-year-old to believe she is a witch and the wizarding world is real. Need ideas to help keep the magic alive." Thoughts?
I'm going to say that these people are just like putting themselves into a world of hurt. It's like I like the spirit of what they're doing, but I just think, do you say like, it's not a big deal that I embezzled all that money because I stopped? Do you know what I mean?
I'm trying to think back to what my own parents did growing up, with just in terms of things that you know are not real, but you want to keep the magic alive for the kids a little bit. And I think my parents always kind of, they didn't outright say that there is no Santa Claus or there is no Easter Bunny, but there was definitely like a wink and a nod when talking about, the Easter Bunny came, wink, wink, you know, and then they knew where all the eggs had been hidden. So I think ambiguity is probably the approach that I would take, not having any children of my own and not being qualified to really speak to what the right answer is here.
Well, I don't mean to expose you both to the world, but don't you think part of your skepticism is coming from the fact that you both hate Harry Potter?
Hate is a strong word. I am indifferent.
Yeah. Like wizards, the truth arrives exactly when it means to, and all of my true Lord of the Rings stands will know just what I'm talking about.
Nerd.
I don't know, man. They're entering a world of hurt.
Well, I have a snack that has to do with a world of hurt.
Perfect.
Great transition.
It's just what
Perfect.
We need.
Perfect. All right, let's hear it.
Okay, so my snack starts with a quick personal anecdote, which is that my freshman year of college, one of my roommates at the time was going through a breakup. And one of the ways she coped with this breakup was to listen to a specific song on repeat pretty loudly. And it was that Timbaland One Republic song that's like, it's too late to apologize. It's too late. You know what I'm talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, that reminds me of that Snack Mouth song. Oh, never mind.
That was good, Ben.
Thanks.
So in a similar vein, my snack comes from the Unsent Letters community, which is a new favorite of mine. And we learned about it from the Yellow Rose, who we featured in our Black Lives Matter episode, because she's one of the moderators of this community. And it is what it sounds like. People post letters that they don't intend to send to their recipient, but that are important for them to put down in writing for one reason or another. So a Redditor who goes by a floofy souffle, which is great, made a post titled, "Dear Neighbor Who Listens to Billie Eilish on Repeat Every Evening." And the post says, "I don't know what a person has to be going through to listen to Billie Eilish's When the Party's Over 7 to 15 times every day at 6 p.m., but you seem to be going through it. Thanks to you, I know every lyric. I sing along with you sometimes, but you'll never know. We're connected, man. I worry about you." And they go on to write, "If you want, you can get YouTube Premium free for 1 month, and then maybe we can listen to Bad Guy. Or if you're more into sad songs, I've got a breakup playlist that we can listen to. Heck, bro, when they get this vaccine done, I'll even give you a hug. I'll do anything, anything for you if you could just play any other song. Yours truly, your now sad neighbor." So, first of all, I had never heard this Billie Eilish song before. Have you guys heard this, When the Party's Over?
I don't think so.
No, I've only heard Bad Guy. But that's because I listen to it 16 times a day.
No time for any other songs.
That's right.
But I just listened to it for the first time right before this, and yep, that'll do the job if you've just broken up. It's haunting and it's lovely, although I don't recommend the music video if you're squeamish about eye things like I am, so I'll just put that disclaimer in here. And I wanted to mention this post because a lot of the posts on unsent letters are letters that really might be better left unsent, you know, like a letter to an old ex that you really probably shouldn't get back in touch mm-hmm. with. But this is a letter that I think this person should send.
Yeah.
And I think this person should make a mixtape for their neighbor, if that's still a thing, or like a Spotify playlist. Or maybe they could gift their neighbor that YouTube Premium account so he could listen to something else.
Just play some competing music.
Yeah. There's never a good time to feel emotionally alone in the world. But this definitely isn't it. And I think the gesture of reaching out in some way and like actually saying we're connected, man, could mean a lot to this neighbor. So
yeah, I agree.
A floofy souffle.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this, just give that some thought. And if anyone else needs like a breakup mixtape, I'll make one. I'll make a playlist. I'll put one on our subreddit or wherever.
It's an empathetic post.
Yeah.
Which I think is sort of rare in some ways on the internet, that you're like simultaneously talking about something that is incredibly aggravating, but also like understanding the person who is aggravating you. And I think, mm-hmm. you know, that's something we should all try to live up to.
Yeah. And for my former college roommate, also right before this, I listened to that song, Apologize, and just poured one out for her. I hear you, broken hearts.
I gotta say, before I knew how sad that particular Billie Eilish song is, I could have sworn that the neighbor that the person was describing in the post was my dad, who I recently learned is a huge Billie Eilish fan. And the thought of this like middle-aged man just like listening to this teenager's music is just made my day.
Check in on your dad. Papa Swartz is going through something.
Yeah. He's okay. He's okay.
It's like that Snack Mouth song says. Did I just keep doing that?
Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your snack on.
Get your snack on.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
A lot of people spend a lot of money on things like skincare, fast fashion, and even surgery, all in the name of self-improvement. But as the price of perfection rises, when is it time to call it quits? I'm Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable, a podcast from Marketplace. This season, we dig deep into the financial trappings of self-care and the real motivations behind our spending choices. Listen to This Is Uncomfortable wherever you get your podcasts.
You ready for number three?
Hell yeah.
This is from the relationship advice subreddit, which, as we all know, is a veritable platinum mine of train wrecks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to start with the post. I've been living with my boyfriend for about 7 months. 2 weeks ago, he sat me down and presented a PowerPoint presentation with his business idea. I knew he'd been working on an idea, but he didn't want to tell me about it until it was finished. Based on his enthusiasm and his prior seemingly intelligent nature, I thought maybe it'd be a pretty cool idea. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
I cannot wait.
Instead, he presented to me an idea about soup tubes.
What?
The idea, if you can call it that, is to construct a series of tubes throughout our city that leads to centralized soup kitchens. For a monthly subscription, a customer can, quote, subscribe to a tube of soup. And a tube extension would be built off the nearest mainline tube and directly into the customer apartment or home.
What?
Oh, God.
This is a time when, you know, you have to, like, think twice before ordering takeout from a restaurant.
Yeah, you're just going to drink soup out of a tube? It's coming into your house?
Soup out of a communal tube. You have your own little mouthpiece, I'm guessing, but it's a communal vat of soup.
Also, like, we're all in New England, and so you know that the communal soup would be clam chowder, which
chowder
just makes it extra gross. Yeah.
Chowder. Got to keep that chowder hot coming through the tubes. So the person, the woman, who is apparently a 25-year-old female, sort of asks the boyfriend, 25-year-old male, if he's, like, pulling her leg. And he's apparently completely sincere. He then asked me how much I wanted to invest, and I told him nothing. And he looked absolutely heartbroken.
Oh.
Since then, almost every day, he has asked again for me to invest, and keeps trying to sell me on the idea. He is also doing the same thing to a lot of his friends. It is starting to drive me up the wall. First, I'm at a loss as to how he can believe such a stupid idea is worthwhile. Second, it really is goddamned annoying to be asked on a daily basis to invest in a system of soup tubes. And third, I'm also concerned for his sanity. Other than his apparent obsession with this, though, he has shown no other signs. I would like some advice as to how I can reason with him or whether I should even continue this relationship.
It's honestly so hard to believe that he showed no other signs. Like, it's gotta be a trail.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's all soup-based, maybe he's just got a genius idea that nobody can get on board with because he's a genius and nobody else is.
I mean, Mr. Soup Tube, you're so young.
Yeah.
you have so many good ideas ahead of you in the years to come. And Miss Soup Tube, maybe just suggest that he look for other investors and see, like, well, of course I'm your partner, like I of course I'm on board, but let's see who else we can get on board, because my support doesn't matter, but if we can get some actual investors on board, that's when you know you have something.
Also, just get a meeting with Larry David. I feel like he's your demo. I feel.
Or, yeah, and if it doesn't turn into, if Soup Tube doesn't become a reality, I feel like it's a great plot for
Definitely.
A sitcom.
Or like a YouTube channel, like a YouTube channel just called Soup Tube.
Oh, Soup Tube.
I love it.
That's great. Let's bank that. Keep this out of the episode so we can start that channel right now. All right, guys, that is this week's Snack Time. Hope you enjoyed.
Snack time, soup time, snack mouth. We'll be back in your feed next week with a regular episode, a full meal-sized episode for you.
Until then,
bye.